Okay, continuing the Maharal's third parak in the Siva Tshuva. On page Kufnun Hay, Uva Medrash. So we saw this Medrash in the first parak. And this was the Medrash that says, if you're a Baal Tshuva, it's as if you did what? It's as if you brought Karbanos, it's as if you built the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem likes broken Kalim. So he comes back to this Medrash. Medrash Zavdi ben Levi, Rabbi Yossi, Pitras, V'Rabbanon, V'Chulu. Who Medrash that Parashnu Lamala, I've already explained the Medrash earlier. Ki Rotza Lomar, She David Amar Shim Yakabel Oso B'Tshuva So Nechshav Zakiilu Hekriv Atzmo. When a person does tshuva, David HaMelech is expressing that it's as if a person offers himself as a carbon. Right? And we explained that the whole nature of a carbon, Ramban says, is to get close to Hashem. Tshuva is all about Hashava El Hashem. And therefore, David HaMelech said, if you'll accept my tshuva, it'll be as if I offered myself to you as a carbon. V'kach Yodea Ani Ki Shlomo Bini Misyachas Elai. And David says, and you'll see, if I become a carbon, you'll see that my son will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash and offer many carbonos. Because the son is misyaches to the father. Right? Or as the Maharal says elsewhere, that the ben is the pnimius of the av. So whatever the father achieves superficially, if David could be a carbon, then Shlomo is going to be the source of many carbonos. He'll build the Beis HaMikdash and build the Mizbeach and all Karbanos will be offered. Because the child is the expression of the father. It's hopefully a more refined expression of the father, right? We hope that as time goes forward, we take the kochos of our parents and we build upon them. Unfortunately, there's also a reality of Rida Sodoros, which moves us in the other direction, right? That we're not as good as the earlier generations. Okay, but David HaMelech says, if I could be a miniature version of a carbon, my son will be the pnimius of that inyan, and he'll bring it out all that much more. So if the father is like a carbon, because a person who's chozer b'tshuva is exactly that, is a carbon to Hashem, my son's going to come along and he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach, v'yakriv alav kol ha-karbonos sheva Torah. Now, if you remember in that Medrash, there's two opinions. The first Manda Amr says that David says, I'll be a carbon, and my son, Lamaisa Bepoel, will build the Beis HaMikdash and offer many carbonos. That was the first opinion. So, says the Maharal, Mikol Makum Savar, this first opinion is under the assumption, Ki af agav dechsiv zivchei elokim ruach nishvara, that even though it's like a carbon, a person who's humbled in spirit, a person who does tshuva, he himself is a carbon. The first man number couldn't imagine that a person who does tshuva is not only an offering, but he went to Yerushalayim and he built the Beis HaMikdash and he built the Mizbeach and he offered karbanos. That much the first man, the Amar, couldn't imagine. So therefore the second Tana came along and he said, no. Ki achoze b'tshuva nechshav ki'ilu al Yerushalayim. A person feels badly this time of the year, like they were just saying. You know, you can't compare being a chutzlaritz to being an Eretz Yisrael this time of the year. Right? So you feel bad. If you do tshuva, then you get a taste of it. It's kilo ala Yerushalayim. Not only that, banam is beach, hikriv alav kol karbanos. How is that so? How is it that a person from so far away, through the movements of the heart and the vidui of the lips, can build a Beis HaMikdash and go to Yerushalayim? Ki ha-mikdash ha-mizbeach v'Yerushalayim ha-kol hu la'adam. Because all these things are found within man. Right? That the mizbeach and the mikdash and the Yerushalayim, those are all found within a human being. A person's lev is his Yerushalayim, like we saw in Shem Yishmol. Like the Nefesh HaChaim writes so beautifully, that a person is like a Beis HaMikdash. When a person has an improper thought, he's bringing an improper thought into the Kodesh Kadashim. So everything that you find in the world, in a redeemed, revealed expression, is true within a person. A person's an Olam Kata. That means if there's a place in the world called Yerushalayim, there's a place within a person called Yerushalayim. So the second Man number says, it's not just that you offered yourself as a karbon. It's ki'ilu you went to Yerushalayim. You restored your internal Yerushalayim, and you built your internal Mizbeach, and you built an internal Beis HaMikdash, and you offered all the karbanos in the world. Since everything is already packaged into man, the Mizbeach, the Yerushalayim, the Mikdash, it's all within the kochos of a person, and he himself is the carbon. Ki ha'usa tshuva makriv atzmo l'Hashem yisparach. U'lefichach nechshav ha'usa tshuva ki'ilu al Yerushalayim, bana beis ha'mikdash, mizbeach, v'hikriv alav kol ha'karbanos, ki ba'adam hu hakol. Because man has within him everything. Right? Na'ase Adam, let us make man. Who is Hashem talking to? Hashem was talking to the entire universe. Man was created on the sixth day. That means Hashem said to everything, let's make man. Which means that man has a little bit of everything in him, for better or worse. And that means we have the wild animals of the jungle in us also. So we have to learn how to keep those under control. But everything that's true in the world is found within man. Ki Adam hu hakol. V'davar ze mevu'ar ma'od. And this is very important and very, very essential to be understood in a clear way. Amar Mar Zutra Bar Tufya. Okay, Maharal continues to darshan the Gemara's in Maseches Yoma. Amar Rav. Rav Zutra Bar Tufya said in the name of Rav. Gadola tshuva sha'afilu yachid asa mochlin lo ulechol ha'olam. Again, a Jew has to see himself. If a person is an olam katan, that means his every move that he makes affects the entire olam. Not just his olam, but the entire olam at large. So, how great is tshuva? Tshuva is so great that if a yachid does tshuva, it brings mechila for himself and for the entire world. Like the Rambam says, you should see the world as if it's hanging in the balance. Your next move is going to tip the scales in one direction or the other. It's up to you to decide. Very powerful statement that you can bring mechila to yourself and the whole world. Shenamar, Pasuk says in Hosea, Erpa Meshuvasam Ohavim Nidava, Kishav Api Mimenu. Mehemlo Namar El Mimenu. Pasuk says that what? That Erpa Meshuvasam, I'll bring healing and I'll bring tshuva to the masses, to the plural. Because of who? Because of Mimenu. Because of him. Because of that one. Because of that individual. It doesn't say mehem, it doesn't say because of them they will be healed. It says because of him, because of one individual's efforts to do tshuva, then the whole world can be healed. How is that so? How does that work? How can it be that one Jew does tshuva and the whole world is saved? Perish mashem mochlin lau l'kol ha'olam, ki tshuva al ha'olam. Because if tshuva precedes the world, if tshuva is al ha'olam, if tshuva is l'malam in ha'olam, like we saw at the end of the second parak, he says, "Kemoshen isbar lamala sof parak beis ki tshuva nivra is kodem shenivra olam." If tshuva preceded the world, that means tshuva is above the world. Tshuva is bigger than the world, and that means when a Jew does tshuva, he recreates the world. So yes, he can bring mechila to the entire world. He can recreate the world through his tshuva. He's bigger than the world from his position of tshuva. Uvnei kach mochlin al kol haolam ki haolam al yidei tshuva davek medrega shaba mechila sakol. That when a person is attached to tshuva, he's attached to that madrega where there can be mechila for all, for everything. We need to think and reflect on the fact that the Baal Tshuva has the ability of the 50 gates of Bina that are described, right? The Shar Elyon, the Shar HaChamishim, as the Maharal refers to it elsewhere, that the Baal Tshuva is the key to the highest gate, the Shahu Shar HaTshuva, and that is the gate of tshuva. Right? You bring everything back to the start, to the highest point. That's what tshuva is. It's a return to the haschala. V'sham mechila sakol, and from that place again, there can be mechila for all, for himself, for the entire person, and for everything around him. U'lefichach tshuva she'oseh yachid hu mechila l'kol. Unbelievable that the efforts that one individual can make can save the world. We have to work really hard to just believe these mamari chazal. To really believe, I'm going to save the world. My tshuva. Halavai should believe that my tshuva saves my world. Let alone to believe that tshuva saves the world, that there are big things that are taking place in the world, and the choices. I was thinking on Erev Rosh Hashanah, my daughter, our third daughter, Meir Rivka, she should have a good year, was playing in the den, and she stepped on something and she really twisted her ankle, she really hurt her foot. And she was sitting there, it was a few minutes before Rosh Hashanah, and she was crying, and I'm about to get out the door to shul, and she needs an ice pack, so I quickly... Daddy became the nurse. I scooped her up. I put her on the couch. Grabbed the ice pack. Wrapped her foot in a blanket. Told the big sisters to take over until I get back. But then I was thinking on the way to shul. I was thinking that twist of the ankle, that stubbing of the toe that took place in the last moments of Tufshin Ayin Hay, was decreed a whole year ago. To really believe that what's happening on Rosh Hashanah is actually going to affect, and that's what the Svarim say. That's how we're supposed to look at it. that something that happens at any point in the year, right? When you get that flat tire in 6 months from now, you should realize, by the way, that flat tire was because you didn't say Amen Yishmei Rabbah with enough kawach on Rosh Hashanah. Had you said it a little stronger, you wouldn't have gotten the flat tire. Had you not said it at all, God forbid, you could have had more damage to your car. Right? But all these things are decreed on Rosh Hashanah, to really believe that. And to believe that the moves that we're making during these days are actually paving and charting the course for the coming year. But I couldn't get over that. To think that my daughter's ankle was gonna, you know, be twisted in the last moments of Tavshin Ayinai, that was decreed already at the beginning of Tavshin Ayinai. I think that's how we're supposed to look at things. To really believe that everything that happens was decreed. I know that touches on free will and changes that can take place throughout the course of the year. Right? And it's working with a certain degree of hashkacha pratis, which maybe some believe in more, some believe in less. But it's certainly a legitimate approach to say that, you know, that the plate that you dropped as you're setting the table for Rosh Hashanah on the last day of the year, it was decreed a year ago that plate's going to break. That's what the Sfarim say. That's what all the tzaddikim say. That not only are you being judged on Rosh Hashanah, but the shtender that you're standing in front of is being judged with you. What's going to be with that shtender this year? What's going to be with that china dish this year? It's an amazing thing. But again, to believe that a person has the ability to shape his world and to shape the world, that there's mechila on everything, because tshuva takes you from to a point that's above and beyond everything. It takes you to the highest gate, the Shar HaElyon. It takes you beyond this world. Okay, Heichi Dami Bal Tshuva. Who's coming tomorrow? Anyone coming tomorrow? Tomorrow we're gonna have a really interesting shir, Mirza Hashem, on this next. Maimer Chazal that he quotes here. Okay? Listen to this. Heichi dami bal tshuva. What's the definition of a true bal tshuva? What's the bal tshuva amiti? Kegon shaba davar avera liado pam rishon v'shnia uporesh himenu. Imagine a person has a situation come to him one time or two times, and he stops himself. Now there's different, we'll see maybe tomorrow, there's different girsos than they're showing him. How many times you need to pass the test to prove that you're bal tshuva. I mean, we're talking about a person who messed up in something last time. And now what? Shabbat dvar aver liyado. It's come back a second time to visit him, right? Pam rishona ushniya. It's come once again, or maybe twice again. We'll have to see what the rishonim held about that. It seems that many rishonim hold that once you show strength and resolve to not commit that avera even one time, when you had the same opportunity repeat itself, that already is tshuva gemura. But some say no. You need to establish a pattern here a little bit. So once or twice, okay. And he's porish hemena, and he refrains from. Last time he had that opportunity, he gave into that temptation. He succumbed to that yitzhara. He did that avera. This time he's porish. He controls himself. Machve Rav Yehuda signaled ba'osa makom uva'osa ishu uva'osa perek. Now, what does it mean that Rav Yehuda signaled? Is a good question. It could be some say that he put up like three fingers. My thumb hurts, so I can barely put up three fingers. He put up three fingers, right, indicating ba'osa isha, ba'osa mako, ba'osa perak. Meaning what? Let's say there was a person who was involved in a non-Torah way with a certain woman, and it took place in a certain place, in a certain context. It was a particular woman, right? It was ba'osa perak. Question of what that means. Maybe it means at a certain age of his life, when the Yitzhahara was a certain way. So now, let's say, right, not 15 years later, he meets that same woman in a different place, in a totally different context, and they're both happily married. It's a whole different situation. No, it's mamish. A day ago, they committed the sin in a particular place, with a particular woman, with a particular passion, a certain Yitzhahara, a certain age where he had a, right? And then, a week later, let's say, he's back in the same place with the same girl, the same situation, and this time he's misgabar al yetzer. He doesn't give in. So that is what the Gemara calls heichi dami bal tshuva. What is the definition of bal tshuva? That's a true bal tshuva. The same scenario came up, right? Everything was exactly the way it was last time. And last time he gave in to this temptation and he enjoyed himself. And now he's in the exact same situation, and this time he chooses Hashem instead of his yetzer, instead of the avera. So that's the example of a bal tshuva. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda. Maral will explain in a second. Rav Rami. Rav contrasted the following two psukim. On the one hand, it says in Mishlei, Mechase Pisha'av lo yatzliach umoda va'ozei viruchah. Mechase Pisha'av lo yatzliach. That a person who covers up his sins, that's not a good thing. Elsewhere in Tehillim, however, it says, Ashrei nesuei pesha kisuei chata'a. Praiseworthy is the one who covers his sins. Should I display my sins in public or not? Says the Gemara, lo kasha, kan b'chet meforsam. If it's already well known, right, if it's already in the papers, so then I should come out and I should address it and not pretend nothing happened here. Kan b'chet she'en meforsam. But if it's not well known, then better, if it's between you and Hashem, so keep it quiet. If it's between you and Hashem, why should I display my sins to the masses? It's a chilul Hashem to do such a thing. Why do I have to announce, you know which averos I did this year? It's between you and God, keep it quiet. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia gave a second answer. Kan baveros shebinadam lamakom. If it's between you and Hashem, that's a private matter. Keep it that way. Kan baveros shebinadam lachavero. If it's binadam lachavero, then obviously you need to approach the tzibur, the people, the others who you've injured, who you've offended, to apologize. Okay. Now explains the Maharal. Going back to the first part. Ba'osa isha, ba'osa makom, right? Ba'osa perek. Says the Maharal, and this is what tomorrow's really interesting. I've been collecting on this year for a while. I'm very excited to give it. Ritz Hashem. Does that mean that if I want to be a true Baal Tshuva, I have to try to get together with that girl again in that same place and not do the Avera? Meaning, am I allowed to put myself in a makom sakana, spiritual sakana, in order to prove that I'm a Baal Tshuva? Let's say I had a major issue eating cheeseburgers. I love cheeseburgers, right? So do I have to prove that I'm a Baal Tshuva, do I have to walk into that same McDonald's, right, at the same time of the year that I used to always go to buy my cheeseburger, and put myself in that situation? Now, on the one hand, maybe I'm setting myself up to fail. Why would I tempt myself that way? Better not to go into, not to be Ba'osa Makom Ba'osa Isha. Maharal says it differently. What if that girl passes away? So then can I never do Tshuva Gemura? Because I'm never going to be in the exact same place with the exact same girl. Maybe it'll be a different girl. Maybe it'll be a different place. Right? Maybe it'll be also with the same passions of the heart. So it says the Maharal, Ve'ein v'tzalom r'masha amr bo'osa makom bo'osa isha, ki lo timtza tshuva ela dafka b'nin zeh. It's not to say that you can't get real tshuva unless the scenario plays itself out exactly the same way again. Why would that be unfair? Shem kein im mesa o'osa isha lo yelo tshuva. Because the second, that's not in your control. A, it's not in your control to make sure that those pieces are in place again. And even if you said you could control it, are you allowed to set up the scenario again? You say to the girl who you were alone, be yichud with. Well, look at the Lashon of the Rambam tomorrow. The Rambam says, you're in the same place, you're alone with that girl again. Why are you alone with that girl? It's also to be alone with that girl. Who told you to be alone with that girl? So you'll say, well, if it came up, if it happened, and this time, you know, the same temptation, this time I stopped before going further. Maybe that's the situation. But we'll see. There are some svarim that, believe it or not, say that you're allowed to create that scenario again. What do you mean? I'm allowed to do averas to prove? All right? I don't want to give too many of the secrets of tomorrow's shiur, but it's a fascinating question. What does it mean? Ba'osa makom ba'osa isha ba'osa perek. Can I put myself into this, forget just this example with the Isha, right? Any example. Am I supposed to, I hung out with a certain group of friends and we did a certain Avera. So should I get together with that group of friends this time and not do the Avera? Or maybe better not to get together with that group of friends who I know are a negative influence in my life. That's a fascinating, fascinating question and discussion. Right, not going back to that place. But again, the Gemara seems to be defining the true Baal Tshuva is the one who was in the same exact situation, and then he proved it to Hashem. So, Yosef, am I supposed to go there? Yeah, Yosef, what?
Yosef, the Gushmafari, says that he was trying to test himself. He purposely went into Isha's Potiphar.
Yeah?
There are people who say that.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
In terms of like, cheeseburger, I thought, again, I forgot who said this, but that you're supposed to want the cheeseburger.
So you're not supposed to want it. You're allowed to want everything.
Right. You're supposed to want
it. That's Rashi and Chumash. I want Hashem. I wish I could eat cheeseburger. But you said I can't, so I can't.
Right.
Which is such a healthy Rashi, because it means you're allowed to be a human being. You don't have to pretend you don't want the pleasures of this world. Right? If a person reaches a certain madrega that he truly doesn't want it, gewaldik. But it's okay. You're a perfectly fine Jew. If you say, "What you don't think what's going on outside, I think it's fun." I know it's fun, but Hashem says I can't. That's a very holy way to live your life.
The question is how to balance that with like siyasiyah with Torah,
right? No. So again, there's the want, and then there's the setting yourself up. That's what's strange about this gemara. Ba'osa makom ba'osa isha. To become a true Baal Tshuva, should I set myself up? We'll see, there were people who tried to experiment with this and failed. They said, I'm going to show that I'm a true Baal Tshuva. And then they were nechshel again. They did the Avera again. Okay, we have first-hand accounts from very interesting sources. All right, so we'll have to see. That's why a cliffhanger for tomorrow. But you see what the Maharal sheet is. The Maharal sheet is what? Is it can't be that it's only if you actually end up with that woman again, because maybe that woman's not going to be alive anymore. And therefore what? I can't become a true Baal Tshuva? El Ratzalomer. What does it mean? Shemitzar alachet. If I'm mitzar alachet, if I'm upset about that situation, shevade lohaya over osa avera im osa avera haisa ba ata ilav. If I'm pained to the point that I know that if I of course says mal, don't go to that situation. But to be able to feel in my heart that if I was in that situation, I'm so disgusted by what happened last time that I would never repeat such a thing. Zenikra Baal Tshuva. Sharei hu shav me'osu chet mamish. Because he has fully detached himself from that chet. Again, we'll see tomorrow, but the Pachad Yitzchak elaborates on this piece of Maral. We're putting her in the Pachad Yitzchak on Yom Kippur. And he says, really, you know, if I end up in that situation again, so then I have to actually deal with the situation. But if I don't end up in that situation, that's the next line of the Rambam, that the Yodea Ta'alumos should be made a love, that Hashem should be able to look at me, right? And Hashem says, I know you were never in that situation, I'm not asking you to put yourself back in that situation, but I want to be able to look in your heart and see that if you were in that situation, would you be mitzar al chet to the point that what? That you're shav me'osu chet mamash. The point that Hashem can look in your heart and testify and say, this Jew, he would never do that again. Even if all the pieces were in place exactly the same way. But if it doesn't bother you that much, then you're not a Baal Tshuva. This is so important. I was thinking a lot about this also on Rosh Hashanah. One of the most basic components of Tshuva is Charata. And I think that's one of the hardest parts for us. I think having real Charata is very hard. And I think it's linked into what he's saying here. That Hashem should be able to look at you and say that what? That you're so, to be able to get to a point that you would never ever do it again, right? Even if the circumstances were exactly the same, there has to be a real deep regret over what you did. And I think many people, and I'll say Befrat, I think people who probably grew up in sort of the way, I'm generalizing here, but sort of the way most of us grew up, right? There's a certain, I think all of us, got to a certain point when we graduated high school in Eretz Yisrael that we were all more inspired than we were, let's say, in high school, obviously of varying degrees before that. But I don't know that the people who become from after Israel have tremendous charata about what happened before. And again, there's varying degrees. I didn't do anything so crazy in high school that I have to have such charata. But I'm saying there's certain people, let's say, who lived a more carefree lifestyle up to a certain point, and then became committed to Torah and Mitzvos. Do we really have charata? Do I really have charata over the avers that I did? Do I really want to erase them completely? I wish it never happened. It's part of my life's experience. I'm happy I don't live that way now, and I wouldn't want to do that now. But do I really have charata, deep regret over things that I did in the past? Avers that I enjoyed, again, that a person doesn't have to lie to himself and say, I wouldn't enjoy such a thing. Now I'm at a point, I would never do that. Hashem doesn't want me to do that. It's so pleasurable. But to be able to look back and say, you know what? It's an avera. We write it off like, I was a kid, I was stupid. You know, but to really get into charata, I think is a hard thing. And I think it's very much connected to this, to the point that a person is mitzar al chet, that he's really pained over the chet. I don't know if I'm pained over the chet. I don't want to be punished for the chet. I really do like Hashem and want to have a good relationship with him, so in that sense I'm upset about it. But as far as the chet, do I think the chet was such a big deal? You know, am I like the brisker rav? Do I like tremble over the sight of chametz on Pesach? Like, I know it's a big deal, but am I like really? I don't know. That's no one's responding, so I'm gonna go on in the Maharal. I'm not sure what the response is. Shtika koda. I don't know. Okay, something to think about. But again, the Maharal says you don't have to put yourself back in that situation. It would be absurd to do such a thing. Hashem just has to be able to look at you and say, I can testify that this Jew has changed his position so much that if he was in that situation, he would never succumb to that temptation. Okay? Tanya. Another Gemara. Yom HaPei Vav Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Avar Adam Avera Pam Rishona Mochlan Lam. Now Hashem understands that people make mistakes. So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says an interesting thing. A person does an avera the first time, mochlin lo. Shnia, mochlin lo. Shlishis, mochlin lo. Three strikes, you're not out yet. Shem still gives you mechila. Revias, ain mochlin lo. The fourth time, you're in trouble. Why? Shenemar ko amar Hashem al shlosha pishe Yisrael for the three sins of Israel val arba lo ashivenu. But for four, that's already pushing it. Va'omeri v'pasuk in Iyov, hein kol eila yifal kel. Look at all the things that Hashem does, the pulos kel, pa'amayim shalosh im gaver. That two or three times Hashem will work with the gaver, with a man. My va'omer, what's this va'omer? Why do I need the second pasuk in Iyov? Says the Gemara. V'chitei mahani mili b'tzibur. Maybe he'll say, like the Navi was talking in Amos, that the tzibur, Yisrael is a tzibur, Hashem is willing to extend a leeway period of up to three times. Aval b'yachid lo, maybe for an individual you're held accountable the first time. Tashma, so come in here, says the pasuk in Iyov. Hen kol eila yifal kel, these are the efforts, the behaviors of Hashem. Pa'amayim shalosh im gaver, that Hashem does this for every single human being. Okay? What's the pshat? That Hashem gives you a few times, a little room to make a few mistakes. Perish, ki maisa adam heim b'mikra. Because again, the part of me that's a goof, the part of me that's flesh and blood, operates through mikra, through happenstance. Which means that the body will do things which are not really the essential me. U'lefichach Hashem yisprach mocha v'soleach ad gimel pamim. So therefore Hashem, up to three times, is willing to extend mechila and slicha. Sh'adayin lo huchzak. Because the person has not yet established what? A pattern of sinfulness. And he could, Hashem could very easily overlook these sins as being accidental. But once a person establishes a pattern of sin, and he shows no remorse, right? Meaning again, you could do one and then do tshuva right away. And Hashem is quick to forgive. But once you show that the pattern is developing and it doesn't seem to be bothering you, then at that point, lo nechshav chei b'mikra, the sin is no longer considered chance, it's no longer considered accidental. V'az ein Hashem yisbarach mochel. V'davar zeh mevuar, ki maisa hu b'mikra Hashem yisbarach mochel. So whatever happens by accident, Hashem is more understanding than what happens, so to speak, intentionally. Okay? Good? Okay, last Gemara. Here we go. The final stretch. Shaul Rav Masya ben Charesh as Rav Elazar ben Azariah Baromi. Okay? Last Gemara, the Shmaral will explain, and then we'll finish the parak. Rav Masya ben Charesh asked Rav Elazar ben Azariah Baromi, Shamata, have you heard the Dalit Chalukei Kapara? Have you heard about the four divisions of Kapara? The four different ways that a person gets Kapara. That Rav Yishmal used to do it. Would be Dorish. Amr Leh, he says, I don't hold there are four, I hold there are really three. The first one is not really one of the divisions of Kapara. I'll explain why in a second. V'tshuvim kol echar v'echar. The first category, which the Maharal doesn't even quote here, he takes it out, but the Gemara brings it. Let's say a person misses out on a mitzvah sase. Right? Avral sase. You didn't do a mitzvah sase. How do you fix such a thing? Tshuva, that's it. You do tshuva and you're good. Okay? So his response was, you're not going to count that as a category of Kapara because it's just tshuva automatically fixes it. There are three other categories where there's a whole different process of tshuva. You need tshuva plus something else. So again, whether you count it as four categories or three categories, it doesn't really matter for our purposes. But let's go through the various categories of kapar. So again, if a person misses out on a mitzvah saseh, tshuva is all he needs to restore the relationship, and we'll see why. Okay? Avar adam al mitzvahs lo saseh. Continuing now, which the Gemara says, let's say a person does a lo saseh, which is more severe as far as this is concerned. V'asa tshuva, he does tshuva. So tshuva is not enough. If he missed out on a mitzvah aseh, tshuva is enough. But if you did a negative commandment, you need to do tshuva. Tshuva is tole. Tshuva gets it hanging in the balance. So hopefully, during these days as we're engaged in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we're doing tshuva. That gets us in position to then come to Yom Kippur and have Yom Kippur finish the job. V'Yom Kippur mechaper. Tshuva gets it tole, it has it hanging in the balance. It gets it in position, and then Yom Kippur cleans the slate. Okay, let's say a person, so that's category two. What about category three? Let's say a person did not just an avera, but a more severe avera. Avar Adam al Krisus Umisus based in. No? They have photocopies? Can I photocopy the wrong page?
Okay.
Avar Adam al Krisus Umisus based in?
Yeah,
I
got it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If a person did something that he's Chayv Kares or Misas based in, so obviously it's not just enough to do tshuva. Also tshuva, he did tshuva. So tshuva v'yom kippurim tola. You need tshuva plus Yom Kippur, but a person was chayv kares. Now you can get rid of kares, but what do you need to do? Yisurin v'markin. You need to undergo, unfortunately, a process of suffering in order to be cleansed. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, ufakadati b'shevet p'sha'am, that you're going to have to be beat up a little bit in order to be fully cleansed. In what form and what capacity the beating will come is a good question. But again, you need tshuva plus Yom Kippur plus Yisurim to get rid of karis. Aval mishi yesh lo chil Hashem, but a person who has the most severe chil Hashem in his hand, ein kalap b'tshuva litlos, v'lo Yom Kippurim l'chaper, v'lo b'yisurim l'marik, elakulan tolen u'misa memarekes. You need the combination of tshuva plus Yom Kippur, probably plus some Yisurim, and you can't get the full cleansing from Chil Hashem until what? Until a person leaves this world. It's only through death that he can truly be cleansed of Chil Hashem. Shenemar v'nigla b'aznai Hashem Tzavakos. It is revealed to my ears, says Hashem Tzavakos, im yichupra avon azel lachem ad t'musun. Hashem says, I will not forgive such an iniquity until you die. Okay? So Chil Hashem is the most severe category. I gave a share this past Thursday night on the topic of Chil Hashem. But it's a hard thing to understand. What is it that Chil Hashem makes it so severe? And Kiddush Hashem, obviously, is the counterbalance. That shows the greatness of Kiddush Hashem. If Chil Hashem could be such a severe avera that it takes tshuva and Yom Kippur and suffering and death to cleanse, so Kiddush Hashem must be the counterpart. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah, that was what I spoke about Thursday night. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva says that even though Chil Hashem really doesn't have kapara till death, there is one way. Yeah, he gives actually two ways. He says learning Torah is one way to be mechaper, but the second way to be mechaper is midah keneged midah. You cause the Chil Hashem in the world, cause the Kiddush Hashem in order to correct the damage that's done. Okay, so now Maral goes through each of the four categories, and this is how it concludes the parak. Eilu devarim yesh b'am chachma ma'od. This is a very smart, very deep gemara. Kasher tavin inyan ha-tshuva shu ha-shav el Hashem yisparach. If we understand that tshuva is returning to Hashem, we understand this gemara very clearly. Ulefichach, kasher avar mitzvah sasei, u'mitzvah sasei, inu rak she'inu kona ha-mitzvah, basharai liknos. What have you done wrong when you don't do a mitzvah sasei? You've missed an opportunity, right? When you're an over on a mitzvah saseh, you've only what? You failed to acquire that which would have been worthwhile to acquire. He's missing out on something that would have been very worthwhile for him to have as part of his existence. So therefore, tshuva is all he needs to get to fix this mistake. Why? Because what was that mitzvah? Talk it out with Michael. Well, he had an opportunity. And what will that mitzvah do for him? Let's say he took advantage of the opportunity. Let's say he seized the mitzvah and did the mitzvah. What does that do for him? What does a mitzvah do? Not your question. Brings you closer to Hashem. So he missed out on the opportunity, right? Mitzvah is a lesson of tzavsa, of attachment. He had an opportunity to attach to Hashem. He passed it up. How does he fix it? Tshuva, because tshuva does what? Mikarevet sa'atam l'kadosh baruch hu. Okay, so it's a very simple process to fix. Take off mochnalo. They forgive him immediately. He's forgiven immediately. Why? Vizeki roishia tshuva mechaperes. It makes sense that tshuva should work right away. Im lo sheish tam bedavar sheina tshuva mechaperes. Tshuva is always the starting point of fixing a problem. Because all problems stem from being far from Hashem. And tshuva is about being close to Hashem. So if the problem in this particular case was that Hashem offered me an opportunity to be close to him and I passed it up, I can fix that very simply by creating another opportunity to get close to him. That's the fix. There's no reason to say that tshuva, you should need anything more than tshuva. Mitzvahs bring you close, tshuva brings you close. What was his sin? He sat idle from performing the mitzvah. He didn't take advantage of the opportunity to be close to Hashem. So tshuva does exactly that. Tshuva brings him close to Hashem. It fixes the problem. what happens? Category two now, when he does an Avera. Aval kesher over alosase. Hu davrach. That's a different story. Why? Ki a hefresh yesh bein aseh velosase. Ki a over aseh lo asamaisa. When he missed out on a mitzvah aseh, he didn't do something. Okay, he passed up an opportunity to be close to Hashem. V'keima shalo asa maisa, because he did not do anything, rak shalo asa gzera v'hamitzvah shahayilo lasos, he failed to take advantage of the opportunity offered to him, lo yomer b'zeh, rak shechasa lo hamitzvah v'hamayla shahayilo liknos. So when we look at this Jew, we would say to him, you missed out on something you should have acquired, an opportunity to be close. L'kacha tshuva mechapera, so tshuva solves that problem. Aval misha asa maisa chet, Nisrachik mimadrega so harishona shahayelo kvar. When a person does an avera, what happened? It's not just that he had opportunity to be close and he didn't get close, right? He's changed himself. He's a different person. How do you know that that's true? So Rav Hartman brings here in the footnotes a very, very clear proof. He says, "Vaharaya shepa'amim machmas achet yifsal le'edus." What's the status of this person before he does the Avera? We normally assume that a person has a Cheskas Kashrus. A Cheskas Kashrus means that he's eligible to testify as a kosher witness. I don't know too much about this guy, but he has a Cheskas Kashrus. But once he does Averos, his status changes. Right? He becomes labeled Al Tashas Yotcha Im Rasha Lios Eid Chamas. He's no longer able to testify. He has a status, perhaps, of being a Rasha. Right, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Eidus, Eizehu Rasha, Kol She'aver Aver She'chayav and Aleha Malkus, Zeh Rasha U'Pasol, it becomes Pasol Eidus. So he's a different person. His whole Madrega has changed. V'yeshlo Pechisos, going back to the Maral now, V'yeshlo Pechisos V'tumah. So again, it's not just he's the same, but he missed out an opportunity to get closer. By doing a negative behavior, he's changed his status.
He wasn't a Rasha though.
What do you mean?
Because this guy only did.
When you do it in area Russia, I know Russia. That sounds very harsh.
Well, Russia is
Russia. Obviously, there's levels of being a Russia. But when you do it in area Russia,
it was a Risha.
Look at the beginning of the Sefer Tanya. A Beinoni is a person who's not a tzaddik. A Beinoni is a person who doesn't do averos. Doing averos makes you Russia. Again, we use Russia in like Nebuchadnezzar, Paro, Haman.
But that proof is synonymous, that Russia is synonymous with Pasolidus.
Right. If you do an Avera, you're Chayav Malkus, Zehu Russia, Upasol.
Are we Pasolidus?
I don't know.
I assume most of us are valid ages.
Well, we try to do Tshuva,
for example.
That's why you should have a lot of your Hurei Tshuva before you sign off on something. On a legal document. It's a big deal to be an aid. Alright, we give Jews a Cheskas Kashas, we hope that. But it's a big achrayas. It's not a joke. V'yeshbo pechisus v'tumah ba'atzma al-yidei achet. So he's changed himself. He's brought tumah upon himself. Masha'ingen kasher hu over mitzvah saseh. When he passed off mitzvah saseh, he's still a good guy. He just missed an opportunity. Chaval. So do tshuva to get close to fix the lost opportunity. He's held accountable for turning down Hashem's offer to get close. But here, this guy is dirtied from his sins. Ulefichach, what do we say about him? Sheyesh bo tumas achei. Ulefichach, ein lomer b'zeh she'tshuva bovad mechaperes. It's not just enough to get close to Hashem. Why? Because he's dirty. He's got to wash himself off. How does he wash himself off? How does category two cleanse oneself? You need tshuva plus what? Yom Kippur cleans it. Exactly. Yom Kippur cleans a person. Ki ha'tshuva ein rak hashav el Hashem yisparach. How is he going to wash off? Tshuva doesn't clean in that deep cleaning way that Yom Kippur does. He has stains on himself. Tshuva does not get the job done. So this day comes to clean a person. Right, we saw earlier, your clothing is supposed to always be white. That's a Jew who's freed from sin. When you do averus, your white baguette becomes sullied. So the way to cleanse it is Yom Kippur. It's mitar. It cleans the guf. Okay? And then you need the tshuva to get back to close to Hashem. Category 3. Imchata b'krisos emisos basin. Ein koch gam yom kippurim l'chaper. Category 3, that if you have a higher level sin, kares misos basin, what do you need to do? You need suffering also. Yom Kippur, tshuva plus suffering. Why? V'zekia yedei krisos emisos basin misrachik min Hashem yisbarach ad shuhu bal hedar. This is not just a person who moves away from Hashem a little bit, or got some dirt on his nice clean clothes. This is the person who became a Baal Hedar. He became a person whose mitzias is questionable. His existence has become questionable. Kares, cut off. Misa, end of his life. Ki krisos and misas based in chayam alei misa. These are people who deserve to be removed from existence, right? To be a Baal Hedar. A person of lacking substance. Yom Kippur comes to clean those people who exist. But this person who has chayiv karis or misas basin, from the perspective of his sin, doesn't exist anymore. Yom Kippur brings back and cleanses and pulls close those who are far. But this person is not far, he's no longer. Right, his chet demands a certain disappearance. So what can he do? Instead of actually, because again, he's showing, I don't want to have karis. I don't want to be chayiv misas basin. I want to cleanse that. And he's making the efforts. He's doing tshuva. He's getting everything he can out of Yom Kippur. Right? But the problem is he doesn't exist. But the fact that he's doing tshuva, and he's coming to Yom Kippur in a strong way, shows that he deserves really to exist. So we need to come up, says the Maharal, with a misa that doesn't actually kill him. Right? Eov basically was killed, but he wasn't killed. Hashem said to the Satan, do whatever you want to Eov, just don't kill him. Eov's life was not a life. He was sitting there complaining, I'd rather be dead than be what I am now. And that's often how a Baal Yisurim feels. Ki b'pnesha Yisurin he mamatin nefesh adam v'chiyuso. When a person is suffering, he doesn't feel like he's alive. He can't do the things that make him feel alive. Ki kein amru mishi Yisurim sholten begufo chayav einam chayim. The Gemara says in Beitza that a person who has afflictions of the body, his life is not a life. He doesn't feel like he's alive. He's technically alive, but he doesn't feel like he's living. V'zeshahaya chayav misa, Yisurim can play that role of that quasi-misa experience that the Yisurim cleanse him, shorei kvar ino nechshav chay, kasher Yisurim sholtim beguf. So that's how he gets his kapara. Because again, he's made efforts, he deserves to be alive, mitzad the fact that he wants to do tshuva, but he deserves to be dead because of kares and misas basin. Okay? What about the final category? What about the person who has chil Hashem? Why do we say that category 4, you actually have to die in order to achieve kapara? So he says as follows. Aval kasher chata b'chil Hashem, ein lomer alav, kishachata b'davar chil Hashem, shenesrachik min Hashem yisbach, ad she'ein roi alav hachayim. This person, it's not just that he distanced himself from Hashem, to the point that what? That he doesn't deserve to have life anymore. In which case we can kind of take away his life without taking his life through Yisurim. It's worse than that. Look what he says here. Aval achote b'chil Hashem, oncho shelo yev mitzias klal. It's not a person, right, who's concealed. Heder means concealed. The Baal Kares and Misa is concealed. He has to go through something which makes his life not a life anymore. And then he can come back, then he can do tshuva. Right? But the person who did Chil Hashem deserves to really have no mitzias whatsoever. He needs real death. Why? B'pnei shechata b'shmo yisbarach. Asher shmo mora al mitziuso. Chil Hashem, you've profaned and you've defiled Hashem's name. A person's name, or any Hashem's name, so to speak, is his essence. Let me read you a line from the Maharal's commentary on Pirkei Avos. He says over there in the Derech Chaim in Pirkei Avos, "Ki Hashem hu giloi shel Baal Hashem." A person's name, right? You can also think in terms of one's reputation, is a revelation of that individual. what people say about that name is what they say, what they really feel about the person. Ki kol echad al yedei Hashem noda hu ba'olam. A person is known in the world by his name, not just by his actual name, by his reputation. So if you try to increase Hashem's reputation through Kiddush Hashem, by spreading Kvod Shemayim, that's great. If you're Machal Hashem, then what? That's the most egregious sin, because you've sort of destroyed Hashem's name, you've ruined his reputation, which means you've ruined him. Because Hashem is only as good, so to speak, as his reputation in the world. His presence in this world is exactly in accordance with his reputation in this world. So you destroyed Hashem from this world. The only way you can get tshuva, the only way you could receive true kapara, is by having yourself destroyed from this world. Of actually leaving this world. Fully. Not a Bal Yisurim, who's kind of here but not really here. But someone who has to be totally removed. Again, to whatever degree the name of Hashem is made great, so too Hashem's reality, his existence in the world is recognized. So this person who erased Hashem from the world has to be erased truly from the world. He can no longer exist in this world. The same way that he caused Hashem, Mida Keneged Mida, to no longer kivyachol exist in this world. That's why it says about the one who has killed Hashem, I will not forgive such a thing until death. And now he clarifies just a drop further. This is not like the person who's chayev karis amisas beistin. Why? Shezeh, the one who's chayev karis amisas beistin, b'shvil she'ein roi l'kav l'chayim, he doesn't deserve life. V'lo she'ya oncho she'bital atzmo she'lo ya nimsa, rak she'nichras m'mikor achayim. Karis being cut off from life, right, means that his connection to life has been severed. But we're still talking about him in context of life. He has less of a connection to life. Right? So we can fix that by what? Kasher Yisurim Ba'amalav, Davar Zeh Bitul HaChayim. When he goes through those very difficult suffering, that is a bitul of his Chayim. She'in lo Chayim Kasher Roy. He loses life the way it was meant to be. Ki HaChayim Nikra Kasher Hu B'Briyuso V'Shleimuso. Chayim means living a life the way I want to live life, with his natural seder of things. U'mishi Yisurim Moshlin Bo, Ein Chayiv Chayim. So therefore, it's enough for him to undergo suffering. That is his kapara. The one who's chayev for chil Hashem, it's not enough for him to have a life that's not a life. Right? When Hashem's reputation has been ruined in the streets and people are saying, we don't believe in God anymore because of your disgraceful behavior. So it's not that, well, Hashem's reputation is not as good, right? It's still here. But no, you've erased Hashem from this world. And therefore you need to be completely erased from this world. That's how Hashem is known in the world. So Mida Keneged Mida, this person can no longer be in the world. I explain this as well in Pirkei Avos, on that mission, the fourth parak, that there's no rachmanas by Chil Hashem, even an accidental Chil Hashem. We hold the person fully accountable, Bisham Mavur, and that's what I explain over there. Final paragraph. Why does the person who's Machal Shem Shemayim not deserve to be in this world? Everything that Hashem made in this world is for his kavod, is to bring kvod Shemayim. So he's undermined the purpose of the world. Ein roi elav ha-metzias. Shrei kol ha-nibtzahem heim l'chvod l'yitzbarach. The tachlis of the bria, everything exists in order to honor Hashem. You're operating outside of the purpose of creation, so then you can no longer exist. Uvnei kach ein chil Hashem miskaper lahem ad ha-misa, v'ha-misa mechaper ha-kol, and misa, the ultimate cleansing, the separation of guf and neshama, is the ultimate kapara. V'od nisbar harbe b'zeh eitz al chai ra ba la'olam. Again, I explain this further in Pirkei Avos. V'sham b'vur heitiv davar zeh, lama mechal shem shemayim ein roi, I love Hamitzius. But I'll just add one interesting thing at the end here. Because I told you before, the Rabbeinu Yonah gives two ways to fix Chil Hashem other than Misa. One of them is Kiddush Hashem, Mida Keneged Mida, to whatever degree you can restore Hashem's reputation in the world, makes your life worth living. And the other thing that he says is learning Torah. Torah is always the fix for everything. Why should learning Torah be a fix for this? I think the answer is simple. Because what's the highest level of learning Torah? What's learning Torah supposed to be? Well, Torah says, Gemara Darshan in Maseches Brachos, Adam ki yamus ba'olam. A person who kills himself in the tent, right? Or a dead body in the tent. Talking about Tumas Ol. The Gemara Darshan's Adam ki yamus ba'olam, that a person should be meimis atzmo on Torah. He should kill himself over Torah. What does it mean to kill yourself over Torah? Different explanations. But again, if a person really learns Torah the way it's supposed to be, then he achieves this misa. He achieves the misa that Chil Hashem, the only way to rectify Chil Hashem is death. While learning Torah with full passion, with full vigor, with full commitment, is a form of misa. Right? Adam ki yamus ba'olam. The name is Atzmala, to kill yourself over Torah. So that could be a kapara. But again, we should be very careful not to do any forms of Chil Hashem, because again, if you've removed Hashem from the world, there's no tikkun other than to have oneself removed from the world. Okay, so we should be zochet to be Bali Tshuva Amitim. It's Hashem next year, I guess. We'll pick up again with maybe next year we'll continue. I was hoping we'd get through the whole thing this year, but I guess that was.